This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Etopia Media's Solar World. We're about to speak with Kevin Payne, who's the director of qualifying facilities resources at Southern California Edison. Welcome to Etopia Media's Solar World.
Thank you, Mark.
Why don't you cut to the chase by telling us what qualifying facilities resources is, since you're director of that at Southern California Edison?
Yes, the qualifying facilities department is basically all of the alternative sources of energy, such as cogeneration and renewables, all the various renewable technologies.
Okay, and sort of to get ahead of ourselves, what exactly do they qualify for?
Qualifying facilities is a term meaning that they qualified under PURPA, which was the federal law passed back in the late 70s regarding development of alternative sources of energy, including renewables.
Okay, we're going to talk about more about that, of course. Why don't we just get a little bit of background on Southern California Edison before we get into the exciting solar part of this. Who owns Southern California Edison, and how does it rank in size among its fellow utilities?
SCE is an investor-owned utility and one of the largest electric utilities in the nation. In terms of renewables, SCE ranks first among the nation's utilities.
And is it a subsidiary of a larger Edison company?
Yes, the utility Southern California Edison is part of Edison International.
Okay, and what's the geographic area that Southern California Edison covers?
SCE serves a 50,000-mile territory in 11 counties in Southern California, and we have approximately 4.6 million customer accounts.
Okay, and how much power does it generate?
We serve our customers with about 75,000 gigawatt hours each year.
And how much revenue does that bring in?
SE's total revenue for 2004 was $8.5 billion, approximately.
Okay. Now, from my research here and from what you've just said, Southern California Edison seems to be leading the way in terms of renewable energy. Why is that, and why is it increasing now?
SCE has been a leader in the development of renewable energy sources since we made a significant commitment to alternative sources of energy back in the early 1980s. And since then, we've built up a generation portfolio that has a very significant amount of renewable energy in it. In fact, in 2004, we served our customers with over 13,000 gigawatt hours of renewable energy. It was over 18% of our retail sales.
And what are the advantages for you of such for SCE of such a strategy?
There are a number of advantages. First and obviously, I believe there are environmental benefits associated with renewable energy. They're very important. We also believe that maintaining a diverse portfolio of generation sources is in our customers' best interest, and that looking for new cost-effective renewable sources is critical for us expanding our portfolio. Also, we are well on our way to meeting the state's goals for use of renewable energy, and we look forward to continuing to contribute in that way in the benefits that renewable energy brings to California.
And how does all this get responses from your shareholders and the rest of the market? Do they appreciate your commitment to renewables?
Well, it's difficult to speak for the rest of the market. Obviously, our company is very supportive and has been for decades now in terms of development of renewable energy. I would hope that others outside of our company feel that that's a strong contribution as well.
Okay. Well, having set this background, can you tell us what the main components of the deal you just made with Sterling Energy Systems are?
Yes. The specific terms of the contract we have with Sterling are confidential because we function in a competitive marketplace.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we just last week released a new request for proposals. But I can tell you that we've signed a 20-year power purchase agreement with
right.
Sterling to purchase the entire output of a 500-megawatt solar generation plant, and that SCE can elect to expand that facility to 850 megawatts.
Okay, and so what will Sterling Energy Systems be doing, and what will SCE be doing in that deal?
Sterling is going to be responsible for the development, siting, and operation of the facility. And SCE's role will be purchasing the power generated from the facility.
Okay, now I assume large parts of it are confidential, but in general, who's going to be providing the upfront money to develop, to buy the land and to build the Sterling Energy units that are going to be providing the electricity?
Sterling will be responsible for all of that.
Okay. Overall, what does it cost you now to SCE to generate a megawatt of power?
Edison's generation portfolio has a wide variety of sources. That's a difficult question to answer. Some of them are generated SCE facilities, and some are purchased through power purchase agreements. It's wide-ranging technologies. Each has its own characteristics, so it's hard to generalize about.
Within that spectrum, though, the electricity that's going to be coming from the Sterling solar farm, where's that going to fit into that scale?
Well, as I said, the pricing of the Sterling contract is confidential, but I can tell you that it's priced very favorably compared to other renewable technologies, and it does not require any state subsidies.
Right. Okay. Why did you decide to go with Sterling engines, which are essentially external combustion engines, versus photovoltaics, which for most people still is the face of solar electricity?
SCE selected the Sterling project as a result of a competitive solicitation where its pricing was found to be competitive with other sources of renewable energy. That's the first key. The keys to cost effectiveness overall in solar technologies really relate to two major items, capital cost and the conversion efficiency.
Right.
Sterling technology has a solar conversion efficiency that's far better than photovoltaics and other known forms of solar generation technology.
Is it pretty much the most effective way of turning solar energy into electricity?
It's the most effective way that we've been presented with at this point.
Okay.
The most effective we're aware of. And that conversion efficiency, coupled with a cost structure based on high-volume manufacturing of the components,
right,
makes the Sterling technology a competitive technology from a cost perspective.
Okay. Now, sundials often have written on their face, "We count only sunny hours." Is that a problem for these Sterling engines, or is peak power what they're mainly going to be used for, and therefore that fits in just right because the more heat there is from the sun, the more electricity you're going to get from the Sterling farm?
Yeah, I think you've touched on one of the keys, one of the key benefits of the Sterling project. The loads in Southern California of our customers are driven a lot by air conditioning and the heat of the day. So a production profile from a solar facility actually follows fairly closely our load profiles and therefore the needs that we have to serve our customers. So the Sterling project represents a very good fit in terms of our portfolio of generation sources.
Okay, talk a little bit more about the environmental dimensions of using solar to generate electricity, especially in terms of the instability and rising cost of natural gas.
Well, clearly capturing energy from the sun allows us to avoid the use of additional fossil fuels and their associated air emissions, and particularly at a time of rising concerns over global warming, it's important to pursue technologies like Sterling that are essentially emissions-free. Sunshine is obviously plentiful in Southern California, and if we can work with developers like Sterling, we can find cost-effective ways to develop large amounts of solar energy and get the air quality benefits here in Southern California. In addition to that, it allows us to build a more diverse portfolio that somewhat mitigates things like rising natural gas prices, as you mentioned.
Okay, what's the timetable for putting the agreement into action? When will the first power flow, and when will you have to make a decision about whether to expand the farm?
The first power will actually flow as a result of a 1-megawatt pilot project. 40 dishes will be built by Sterling before the end of 2006, and the full-scale project would come online in the years 2009 through 12.
And is there a set timeline for when you need to decide if you want to go to the second level of size?
Yes, there is. I don't recall the exact date. There is a date that would probably be a confidential feature of the contract, but there is a time within which we can elect to expand the project.
So people could be powering their Christmas lights in 2006 with solar electricity? A few select customers.
A few, just from the pilot project. Yes.
Right. Okay.
1 megawatt pilot project.
How much of the electricity that SCE distributes do you eventually expect to be sourcing from the Sterling installation?
The first 500 megawatts are projected to provide approximately 1,200 gigawatt hours, which is about 1.6% of our retail sales.
Right.
And if the plant were expanded to 850 megawatts, it would produce approximately 2,000 gigawatt hours, or approximately 2.7% of SCE's retail sales.
Okay. And can you say anything about what benefits will accrue to you or to them or to the customers once the cost of the equipment is amortized? And you also say, if you want, something about how long you think these systems will stay in place and how many years of as close to cost-free solar generation will you have?
What I can tell you is SCE has negotiated a fixed price for the term of the contract, for the term of the 20-year contract on behalf of its customers, and that price is not related to issues such as equipment amortization.
Okay. So
in other words, our price will not change as a result of business issues such as equipment amortization on the Sterling side.
But from their side, if they're able to pay off the equipment in less than 20 years, they're going to be generating the electricity with minimal cost to them after that.
You probably would really have to address that question to them. I'm not really sure what the financing structure that they're going to be using is on that.
Okay. Do you expect any further technological breakthroughs in this area in the next few years, or is this pretty much the state of the art in solar electricity generation for the foreseeable future?
Well, first, we're very excited about recent developments in solar generally. The Sterling contract is clearly a big step in that direction. We also know that other solar technologies are working very hard on ways to improve their efficiencies and bring their cost structures down.
Could you mention which technologies those are and how they might figure into this?
The two other technologies that are, I would say, most visible are photovoltaics and the other form of solar thermal, which is basically trough solar, similar to the 350 megawatts that we currently have on our system.
Right. Tell us just a little bit more, what's trough solar?
Trough solar is a technology where parabolic mirrored troughs are used to collect the sun's energy and focus them on a pipe running down through the middle of the trough that transfers that energy off to a generating plant.
And that pipe's full of what?
It's full of a fluid it's full of a fluid that is basically a heat transfer fluid. The heat is then used to generate steam.
Right.
And then the steam is used to generate electricity.
Okay. And you're expecting or hoping for further developments in those areas as well?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of specifics there. I think you probably could get a lot of information from talking to the several companies that are in that field, but in talking with them, they are obviously pursuing every way possible to bring their cost structure down and every way possible to make their technology more attractive.
And there may be contracts with providers of those kind of systems in the future as well?
I really couldn't speculate on that. It really has to do with, again, the cost structure and whether or not they become attractive enough and are competitive in utility solicitations.
Okay. What do you see overall as the role of renewables in the future at SCE?
Well, SCE leads the nation, as I've said, in the use of renewable energy, and we've believed it for many years that it's important to include a significant amount of renewables in our generation portfolio. We see that continuing and actually increasing. There's clearly state policy here in California to move towards larger percentages of renewables, and we plan to lead the way in that effort.
Could we talk a little bit about that? What's the story behind the renewables portfolio regulations in California? Who implements them? What's the impetus for doing that? And do you expect that those portfolio regulations might be changed in the near future to require even a higher percentage of renewables for utilities?
Um, Well, the California's Renewable Portfolio Standard originated with a piece of legislation back in 2001, and it expressed the intent of the state to move its utilities toward 20% of renewable power in the utility portfolios. The California Public Utilities Commission, from our point of view, is primarily in, responsible for implementing the Renewable Portfolio Standard.
And that this the standard is 20% by 2017?
The legislation required 20% by 2017, but the state agencies, the Public Utilities Commission and the California Energy Commission have stated their desire to get to 20% by 2010, and that is Edison's goal.
Okay. Do you have any feelings about raising it from 20 to 33%? Could you manage to do that?
I think there needs to be quite a lot of study and assessment done to determine the feasibility of doing that. There are those who have suggested that that's a possibility, but I think the utilities are doing a very significant amount of new procurement and new development of renewables right now, and it's going to require a lot of investment. It's going to require a lot of time. It's going to require new transmission upgrades, and I think that we would all be best served if we did a very careful and thorough assessment of the costs and the time that it takes to get to 20% by 2010 before we leap into a much more aggressive RPS program. The renewable resources at a reasonable cost just simply may not be there. And I think we'll have a lot better information to assess that after we've got some experience with this renewable portfolio standard under our belt. And we also feel very strongly that all utilities in the state, not just the investor-owned utilities, meaning the municipal utilities and the energy electric service providers, all need to participate in this and all need to make this same contribution to the state's renewable goals.
Is there legislation pending to do that? To require the other providers to meet the same standards? Do you know?
The original RPS legislation did address the other entities. They have not moved as far towards implementation for various reasons, but we believe it's critical for everybody to do their part and come up to at least the 20% level.
Okay. Assuming that the arrangement you've made with Sterling Energy System proves out and works very well, to what extent is it could it be added to or replicated, or is there enough solar energy to build 2, 3, 4, 10 more of these if it turns out to be producing cost-effective electricity?
Well, we certainly hope that the Sterling project and expect that it will prove itself out and that it will be constructed on the schedule that we expect. I think the issue with how much of it can be developed is not as much a availability of solar energy or you know, energy from the sun as it is you know, siting issues and you know, the economics of building the technology. These facilities do take up a fair amount of space. They need to be located in the desert regions to get the best you know, efficiency. So we are hopeful that this could be the beginning of something of a much larger scale, but we'll be in a better place to assess that, I think, after we're down the road a ways with the Sterling project.
Okay. On the question of siting issues, have you heard any complaints yet from environmentalists who are worried about the environmental impact of building the solar farm? And if so, is that something that you're going to have to worry about or Sterling's going to have to worry about?
I've not heard a lot of specific issues related to siting on the Sterling project yet. Siting and development, as I mentioned earlier, will be the responsibility of Sterling. We would clearly assist wherever possible, but it is really Sterling's responsibility to site the project and gain permits and work with all the necessary agencies. And I think with something of this scale, there will undoubtedly be challenges along the way, but we're hopeful that they can all be overcome and we can get the project built.
What about the creation of new or the upgrading of existing transmission lines to bring the power that's going to be generated to the places where it's going to be distributed. Are you going to need to do that? And again, is that going to be something that Sterling's going to do or you're going to do?
Yes, this project, this is obviously a large project, 500 megawatts, and it will require some transmission upgrades. The specifics of what those upgrades are and where they will be built are under study, under more detailed studies at the moment. As far as transmission upgrades themselves, that would be the responsibility of SCE.
Okay.
And it will be based on the final site selection for the project and the characteristics of the equipment. And SCE will be responsible for permitting and gaining approval for and constructing the transmission upgrades.
Okay. Why don't we wrap up by you're giving us just a short picture of the importance of this deal with Sterling Energy Systems for SCE and how it fits into your ongoing commitment to increasing the renewables portion of your generating capacity.
Okay. First, the Sterling project would be the world's largest solar generation facility, and it really represents a huge step forward in the utilization of solar energy. As a matter of scale, we currently have over 90% of the nation's solar energy, and it adds up to approximately 350 megawatts. So a 500 megawatt Sterling solar project would clearly be a very significant event. Secondly, the Sterling technology has a production profile that closely follows the energy needs of SCE's customers. So the energy will be available when we need it most and not coming to us at times when we don't need it, which is very significant. There hasn't been any new solar energy of any scale constructed for many years, and since the 350 megawatts that we currently have on our system was constructed a number of years ago. And so solar has really remained something of an untapped resource in the world of renewable technologies. So the Sterling project is incredibly important because it was selected in a competitive process, and it offers pricing that makes it attractive even without state subsidies. And, we believe the benefits of solar are great and that the competitive cost structure of the Sterling technology makes it accessible and cost-effective for our customers.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you very much for your commitment to renewables and for talking to us about it today on Utopia Media's Solar World.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.